This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
What's up, After Buzzers? We are about to go live with the Young Pope After Show. Tonight we're going to cover episodes 6 and 7, and it gets crazy. Of course, somebody dies. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
God, show me the way, because the devil's trying to you know, I gotta play Kanye.
It's so funny. It's amazing.
The Pope wears sunglasses, so I had to wear my sunglasses. Everybody's wearing sunglasses in tonight's episode. Well,
it's true.
In the last two episodes. So.
And Jesus walks.
Yeah. And maybe this is the Pope singing Jesus Walks with Him. I don't
or
know.
Or is Him.
Yeah. I know, right?
I don't know. He's spending
or maybe there
crazy.
Was no Jesus. I don't know.
Because
the Pope doesn't know really what's going on, and neither do I. So. So thanks so much, guys, for stopping back and checking out our after show. We are the Young Pope After Show here on AfterBuzz, and tonight we are going to cover Season 1, Episode 6 and 7, and I'm your host, Jesse Zahner, and you can find me all over social media at Athletic, and tell everybody where they can find you guys.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Al Gregg, a.k.a. Young Pope Algy, a.k.a. Young Papal. You can find me on at SoundClash Cine and on IG at Algy_JamaicaHouseFilm.
So seriously, did you guys notice all the sunglasses wearing in the last episode?
I did.
What is going on with the sunglasses? What does it mean?
To me, it felt like they were taking directly from that moment with the... I want to call her a call girl because I'm not quite sure what she was.
Right.
But when she took a picture of the Pope and she was like, I can see God in your eyes, which definitely felt at that moment like just a trick she used to like convince guys that she was legitimately into them. And then later, as people started covering up their eyes, I was like, oh, okay.
So you think that's what it is?
Everybody's turning away from God, doing very ungodlike things, not really following.
But even Girolamo. Is that how you say his name? Girolamo?
Yeah, it's close to Jerome, but so this is weird. When you really when you read it, if you don't speak Italian, it definitely looks like Girolamo.
How do you say it?
I think it's just Jerome, but I can't say it with an Italian accent. So
he's even wearing sunglasses, I noticed.
Girolamo.
Yeah.
There was something really weird with him at the end of the last episode where he like it looked like there was a new level of consciousness that maybe we hadn't seen or paid attention to previously.
I thought he was going to, like, come like,
I really thought he was
going to
stand up.
Yeah.
I legitimately, I was like, are we going to see another miracle? Like, it's hard to, like, prove the miracle of, like, oh, she was able to get pregnant, you know?
Right.
There's this thought that, like, maybe he did something, but really we just saw him lay hands. There's no sparks or anything. That she just said, I feel pregnant. He's like, I feel it too. I told the kangaroo to jump.
Yeah. And that's God.
Yeah, yeah, and that is God in this moment.
Right.
But it's, I mean, if that kid... I don't know. That would be crazy. I don't know what to expect. I've been waiting for more miracles and more presences of God. This show is making me question a lot of things.
I know. Me too.
And I also think we're being a little bit hard on our young call girl escort. I thought she was just really into him, legitimately, to see God in him.
Yeah. Know? I don't know.
I
can't
think
tell.
So at all.
But
no.
If you know what the sunglasses are about.
Right? Yeah. Come on. Get out of here.
If you know what sunglasses are about, please write to us, because I'm dying to know what the sunglasses are about, and... that'll be the end of my sunglasses for tonight. So let's get into episode 6 and kind of recap that and go over what happened there, because episode 6 starts with literally a bang. We see Andrew with He's having like a threesome with two people that I have no idea who they are.
Yeah, he is. And enjoying himself. Good for you, Father. He's having a lot of fun.
So
I appreciate it. And then he prayed with them under the blanket. Yeah.
That's what I love about the end. As long as you pray with them, you know, it's all good.
He's like, and let's absolve our sins, and you're good to go. Bye, everybody. I'll see you in church. It'll be awkward. I will secretly deliver messages to you in my sermon.
Yeah.
But he's always been the so keep it real cardinal. Like, you know, I've never asked you to do anything. You know?
Right.
I've never asked you to turn against sin, and really deep down, because, you know, I haven't really myself. I'm just like you, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's cool. Like, this is kind of what you want your religious figures to be like. Or at least I do, as an atheist. So have, like, religious figure be like, nah, man, but, like, I can't be perfect either. And so, but I love you as you came to me. Like, this is great, and this is home, and I love it. So it's fine however you are. I think that's a great ideal to live up to, but I also think that that's not what the church
wants. Not quite. Not quite setting any high expectations.
Seems pretty wrong. Pretty wrong.
So, aside from that, there's, like, kind of a weird entrance to this, because also a priest drops dead.
Yes, and no one reacts.
Yeah, like, everybody just sits there, and then somebody says, you know, what did he die of? And then somebody responds,
old age.
The same thing the church is going to die of, old age. And, like, they just go on with their day. Like, people are eating, and, like...
Okay, so here's the thing. If you live around people that are very, very old, death, you kind of become numb to it. You're like...
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Does this happen?
Another took the words right out of my mouth.
My grandmother, who I talk with often, she's like 80. And so she's like, all of my friends are dying. I have to go to another funeral.
Aww.
I wonder what we're going to do for catering. It's like at first it was really sad, and now she's just like, oh,
she's
it's
like
just
used to it.
Death is a part of my daily life now. That's just what I deal with.
I guess, and if you believe in, like, God and the afterlife, then maybe it's not as bad. I don't know.
I mean, it's a part of life. Yeah, death is a part of life, and, you know, growing and advancing to the next spiritual phase. But I just like it when they cut right from the cardinal dying to, like, the benches tumbling over, like the place is in shambles.
Yeah.
Well, and it also gives this idea that in the previous episode we see a lot of, like, familial images, particularly when our core family is back together, the Pope, Sister Mary, and, oh my God, I can't remember his brother's name.
Andrew
are back together, and they have that thing where they're, like, smiling but trying not to smile as they walk in. And you get, like, what does it mean to be a family a lot in that episode. In this episode, they start off to be like, nah, not today. Right. No one is family today. Everyone is kind of against each other. Just living under the same roof but not connected.
Right. So let's start with Tonino, I'm sorry, because...
Tonino sleeps with the fishes. He got whacked.
Yeah, so Tonino's missing, and somebody comes to question Voiello about his whereabouts, because they said that they knew that they had come to his house and threatened to throw him in quicksand.
But who would believe that that actually happened?
No one.
No one. I would never, if somebody told me that, I'd be like, no. And then apparently phone calls have been made to his house from the Vatican, specifically from the Pope, and Voiello covers for all of it.
Yes. Well, Tonino was a special case. Like, here's the thing. One, I really like the imagery of the Vatican as mafia. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Especially the way the kind of neon, like, esque picturesque. That scene was just amazing. I don't know if they killed Tonino. I'm not convinced. Like, it certainly, they're set up. Again, and we got the Italian mob style of, like, yes, we come to your house, then you disappear, you're dead.
You were breaking our balls.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You were busting our balls, so we took, like, a piano wire and we strangled you.
Yeah.
But I prefer to think they went there to put the fear of God in him. I think Tonino might come back. Like, I'm kind of hoping he's our surprise one where he, like, comes back and is, like...
He's
kind
of out there.
Well, he's got millions of followers. We, like, debunks at them. That would be really dope. If not, it says a lot about where Pope Pius and... I'm so bad with names, guys. I'm really sorry. The main... Other main guy. Voiello.
Spencer Voiello.
Sorry. Either. Voiello, where they align. Because he's like, yeah, I agree with how he handled that. And because it was either you agree, like, we should have talked to him, or I agree we had to put a bullet in him and bury him.
Right.
There was a cool reference to, well, maybe he's at some far-flung monastery, so you never know. But I just think it sets up the whole death motif, you know?
He is.
Okay. So you think he's dead. That's a good prediction.
That's my vote.
That's a good prediction, because we forgot our predictions last week. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. So aside from that, we see Esther... Oh, Lord.
Sorry, this scene was way out there. It's crazy.
Which one?
Everything that happens with Esther in the hospital, like right after she gives birth.
Yeah.
Like to him entering, it's a very God visiting Jesus kind of thing where it's like, oh, hey, Peter, it's cool. You're kind of the dad, but really, yeah. I sired this baby.
Yeah.
With my godlike presence.
Yeah.
But then, and can we just spoil the lead here?
Yeah.
He drops the baby.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Did anyone else scream a little bit?
I freaked out. I was exactly like him. I was like, oh my God.
But I kind of saw it coming though.
Well, that's.
Who drops a baby? Like, instinctually, you're designed to, like.
But he never held a baby.
These holding hands are meant for only blessing, not for holding children.
Dude, the children not need blessing. Look, all I'm saying is, like, I understand, like, a baby when it's, like, you know, 8 to, like, 13 months, like, they're wiggly.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're getting a little bit of control in their spine, and they're like, I gotta see what this jiggling's about. Newborns are very still.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of, like, twitch, and they wiggle, like, but very little. You just flung that, but you were like, oh, God,
I like babies, don't get me wrong, but that was one of my favorite scenes, because I felt like that was the first time that we saw, like, an actual, like, reaction out of him, because everything with him is so, like, planned and, like, manipulative, and you never know what he's thinking, and that was, like, the one moment that I first saw him, like, oh, my God. Like,
there was real remorse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Esther and Peter are so forgiving, like, Holy Father, you know, in the back of their heads, we wouldn't have this baby if it wasn't for you.
Mm. Why, did you not think they were forgiving of him dropping the baby?
No, they were, but I question that, because
the way that he dropped the baby, rage. He just, like, swung it over, too. Yeah, it wasn't just, like, a regular, like, oh, like, I fumbled the baby. He, like, turned and just, like, tossed it.
Here's what really bothers me about the drop is it doesn't feel accidental. Like, I feel like he was like, if this baby is really divine, God will save it. And for a minute, he doubted because he doesn't believe God. He was like, oh, God, I killed a baby. And he was like, oh, no, it's fine. It's cool. Yeah. God's got my back.
Yeah, so that was interesting. So we see a lot of moments with the Pope and the baby because, like we talked about last episode, so if you saw after the credits at every other episode, they'll do like a kind of like where the writer comes in and talks. And he was talking about when the Pope was blessing the babies and how like he really doesn't like kids because it reminds him of his childhood. Mm-hmm. So I thought this episode was really great showing the Pope with the baby because, well, first we see him drop the baby, but then he's come so far. We see him like pushing the stroller out in the yard and he's watching X Factor. And if you look, like Peter and Esther are so involved in X Factor. They're like watching it really, like they're all about it. And he's just having the time of his life with his baby. And then he goes and changes it and he picks it up and he's.
Well, he gives that whole speech about being a father. Mm-hmm. And he was like, we take a vow of celibacy because we're not allowed to be the father.
Right.
But he also talks a lot in this episode about being Jesus and how he can replace Jesus if he needs to. I really feel like this is him being like one step closer to trying to be God, to trying to not just psychologically from his like childhood abandonment issues, trying to form a family, which is something he's been trying to do for a long time, but also in getting to be a father and having that like holy divinity kind of spirit coming out of him. It's really interesting to see how he handles this like multitude of personas he wants to possess. Like he wants to be everything to everybody at all times, but also be an individual.
And dare I say, God forbid, he might actually get some growth and humility out of it.
A little bit. A little bit here. He was not afraid to like wipe the poop. He was like, no, I will change that diaper. Oh God, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And he was still jolly about it.
He was. Yeah. I love these moments with him and the baby. Mm-hmm. It's like the only moments where I feel like he's being genuine because I can never tell what he's thinking otherwise.
Blissfully, you know, pushing it across the lawn, you know, in his hat and his sunglasses.
Yeah. He's so cute with the baby. So aside from that, we have some crazy stuff happening with Sister Mary because last week we saw a little bit of her like kind of deceiving the Pope when she sees them at the end and she says, oh, don't worry, I didn't tell the secretary or Boiello that you guys were missing. And she really did. So here, one, she's playing more basketball. Sister Mary, I mean, she should be like the Jordan of nuns at this point because she's like always playing basketball. But also, like, we see her in the yard and Tommaso comes running and he tells her that the Pope doesn't believe in God.
And that's not the first time, like, he said something like that to him before, right, in front of Tommaso?
Right.
Yeah, no, well, Tommaso is telling. He's being a tattletale.
Why is he just now deciding to come out with that, though?
Because he didn't get the cardinal position, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Because that's what he asks him later in the episode.
Yeah, he did not get the cardinal position, and he's feeling upset about it. And his little feelings are hurt because Tommaso's a punk bitch.
Look at all I know. I know so much.
I hate Tommaso.
Oh, you do? I feel so bad for him. I love
that
him.
That showed his bitch side.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, you feel bad for
him.
Like,
bro, you just, like, rolled over and showed your belly. You were like, oh, I give up. I could snitch on him so hard
on Instagram. Right? I could totally put him on
blast.
I'm going
to run and tell your mom.
But yeah. He's so cute, and he comes running, and you just feel so bad
Grow
for
up
him.
Tommaso. There's so many people who want this Pope dead. Like, there's, look, you could have teamed up with anybody. But you just went and told dude's mom, like, yeah. I got zero respect for that move.
Yeah, so another thing that I found really interesting, because Sister Mary's, like, supposed to be his, like, right-hand woman, but she's, like, you know, working with Voiello to some extent.
And maybe, not to cut you off, but I think there's a part of a Sister Mary that rationalized it, that she's doing this for his own good. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, to save the church, you know, to save him from himself. Even while she's praying to God, it's like, mm-hmm. I love this man so much, and I love the church. Forgive me for what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
Like everybody else, she thinks she's doing it, like, for the greater good, to get him to, like, sign these papers, you know, when he's out of it.
Well, and Sister Mary has been essentially a single mother for the duration of his life, the time that they've known each other. And she's been stern, but it's like a very faux stern.
Right.
You know what I mean? She gets her low alto voice, and she'll smoke, and she'll have an angry look, but at the end of the day, she's always forgiving him. She thinks he's a saint and Jesus reincarnated. Like, there's not much punishment or control happening within this mother-son relationship, but Voiello definitely represents this father figure who comes in and, like, lays down the law, who will stab you in the back if he has to, who's willing to go really far. Like, yes, he did, like, bow and kiss dude's foot, and he felt bad.
Yeah, but he's back again at it.
Right, but he also now believes in him as Pope. Like, he now, it's no longer a state of fear for the church. It's, oh my gosh, he's young. He needs guidance. Right. He doesn't know what he's doing. I have to keep the state afloat long enough for him to figure out how to be a ruler.
Mm, okay. I didn't catch that layer.
Well,
because
now that we're more into the political aspects of his job, I'm seeing a lot of, like, we get a little bit of him, like, as king and ruler. And how do you rule a country based on a religion in a world that doesn't have faith? And I really feel like now that we're seeing why he's turning in and why he's shutting everyone out and why he's going back to these old ways, he's like, no one loves us.
Right.
And he's like, we are tolerated. We are accepted. And for somebody who needs so desperately to be loved, the one thing that he does love is the church. He says, because he's a coward and he has to love the church, we now get to see how he thinks best to instill that. And that is, I'll make you love me by denying you my love.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see where the creators decide people would fall on that line.
So what did you think happened with that moment where, like, Voiello and Sister Mary are out in the woods and they're, like, holding hands, and then she says,
someone might see us. She's got so much game, man. She's like a pimpstress.
Is
okay?
She playing
she's
him?
Totally,
like, are they into each
him,
other?
But she's always
what's going
used
on?
Her feminine wiles.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difference between, like, you can still be a nun, but, like, you still know there's a difference between her as a female and these are males.
Well, no,
those
there's
things
a way
are always
to
gonna be
adjust
there.
Your tone,
and,
to
and
look,
this
to give time
when she,
to speak.
When they were little, and she takes off her little nun hat,
and she
rocks
twirls
the
and
hair,
shows her ankles.
And she goes, shows her ankles and does a little spin and walks in slow-mo. She knows what she's doing, and all the kids are just like, gaga. So she can still do it to this day, even with Angie, when she's trying to, like, convince him to stay. Don't take away from the Pope's suffering. She puts his arms around him and everything. She knows how to work these guys. She knows, man.
I don't know. I think that scene reads very different to me. That is a mother who knows her sons and where they need to lie, and how she needs to adjust herself to make them better, which a lot of mothers will, you know, they take a step back from themselves to make sure that their children have the lives that they are hoping for them. But with Voiello, I honestly feel like this is dangerous territory for both of them. I think both of them seek these outside connections and these validations from people that they are accepted. Voiello has that giant bookshelf of books dedicated to himself.
Right.
In his lobby for people just to read casually. But she, you know, has her sons, but they're kind of both being pulled in opposite directions. And I think that as much as Voiello is now an equal partner for her, so it's like a sparring match. I think they like flirting with each other. Like, we can't, someone will see.
And
like,
to even to say that, it didn't even have to go that far until she said it.
Twice,
then it becomes a thing.
Here's my thing. Twice Voiello tells her, you're beautiful tonight.
Yes.
But the second time, when she's like, you already said that, there's the look, and I couldn't tell if it's he did not remember saying it, or if he felt rejected because she's like, well, you already said that.
Right.
If it's he's not remembering, it'd be really interesting to see what Voilo is like in the beginnings of dementia. I'm kind of hoping he said because that's just an interesting character trait.
Yeah, that would be
so powerful.
Interesting.
To be losing it. I'd be interested to see that.
So I know we talked a little bit about Tommaso, but so the only other thing that I wanted to mention with him is that he's decided since the Pope won't make him cardinal, like you said, he's not going to tell the Pope anything else. Mm. So the Pope tries to go and get some information about a situation that happens, and he's not going to tell him anymore. So
I think from that scene, it's much more interesting. Like Tommaso standing up for himself was kind of cool, but the Pope's reaction to it really shocked me. Felt honestly like he didn't care anything at all about Tommaso.
You didn't think he was just slightly surprised this guy actually got a backbone for half a second?
Well, a little bit that, but there also seemed to be some...
But I feel like that's what the Pope is like, though. Like, I don't think he... It's so hard to tell what he's really thinking, but he almost seems like he doesn't care about anybody.
And he knows he's going to use people till they pop, until he can't use them anymore. So everybody has their point. It's like, okay, this is his breaking point.
You know what? Maybe that's true. I've certainly met people like that who are like, look, you love me or hate me. And at some point, everybody leaves me because I'm just an awful person, but I've accepted who I am. So maybe that's the Pope's deal. But if he really was hurt by Tommaso being like, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And that was his confessor. He did choose Tommaso. So it's interesting to see where he went next to confess.
So let's get into some really crazy shit that's going down. Let's move to Andrew, because so much happens with Andrew. Start seeing who he is.
Poor Blasito.
Yeah,
he's racked with guilt about the suicide. And I have a feeling he's always kind of like, you could draw a direct correlation from him, not just acting out sexually, but acting out drinking. Mm-hmm. But that's why I love his character so much. He's real. He's just straight up raw and real.
Yeah, Andrew's dope. I feel, I knew he was going to take the Pope to the spot where kid killed himself immediately. I was like, well, Andrew's going to have to revisit this spot. It's interesting to me that he takes most of the blame on himself. Like, he asks Pope Pius, don't you feel remorse or pity? It's not pity. What does he say? Sympathy?
I can't remember. Wasn't it pity?
I think he said pity.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he asked him,
felt pity?
Have you ever felt it? What happened to you? And yet he doesn't seem to blame him at all. And it's interesting to me that he takes everything on himself. Mm-hmm. The responsibility of even Sister Mary and all this other stuff. So I don't know. I just feel bad. Like, this whole time, it's like, poor Andrew. Poor Andrew. I think the way he's coping, again, he doesn't have a confessor. He says he's all alone, which means he cannot trust Pius. And it makes me kind of mad. Like, you're Pope, but Andrew's like your friend.
Maybe he's almost like your brother, I feel like.
He really is your brother. Like, talk to your bro about how you feel. And then to guilt trip him later to say, I only came back to that orphanage because all I had left in the world was you. You could have done anything. I told you I'm going back.
Right.
You said okay, and you kept walking, and we were very amicably split. Like, it was very peaceful, and it was fine. You came back. So for him to lay that at Andrew's feet and say, you owe me now for this?
That was a load of crap.
Yeah, that was BS.
So did you think, because the way that things went, did you think that the Pope had any idea what was going on with Andrew in Honduras?
No.
But wait, though. Okay. Did you guys peep this? When Andrew comes back to meet with him, I guess over a meal, he's like, there was this pamphlet on my bed about, cardinals and priests straying sexually and getting set up. And he was like, who would leave that? And the Pope's like, I left it. I don't know. Is that foreshadowing, or is that the Pope saying, I know what's going on?
So I almost felt like, I almost felt like after all of their discussions, he had an idea of what was happening. Because when they start talking about growing up, he says, who are you, Lenny? And he says, I'm just an orphan. He says, when are you going to grow up? And then he says, a priest never grows up. That's why we're all, he says, that's why we're celibate. We're never going to be a father. We're always going to be his son. But then later, in that same conversation,
he tells Andrew to grow up.
Well, because Andrew says, well, I'm going to leave. And he's like, well, then if you leave, you're giving up, and then you're never going to grow up. So I'm like, does he know that if he leaves, something is going to happen? Like, because you're saying we can't grow up because there's always a father and we're always going to be the son, so we're never growing up. So why would he bring that back up to try to get him to stay?
This is what the show does so well for me, and it makes me wonder if, in the context of this world, if there is a God. It makes you play, like, in the context of this universe that the author has created, is there a God? And if so, is Pope Pius the reincarnation of Jesus? Because he does, even in the previous episode when he's like talking to the woman as she's like, you know, trying to strip for him, and he is like, you know, we're all scared and we're all cowards, and this is just how all preachers are. Right. And it's like he's giving direct lip service for Voiello to like shame him.
Yeah.
And then again, here we have it again. And even with Sister Mary, at the end of the episode, when he says, thank you for that one moment, because for one second I got to believe and I got to have my parents. And that's definitely that's gotta just stab her in the heart.
Oh, for sure.
As an orphan, which he doesn't know, which he's not supposed to know, but you get a sense of like, does he know everything? Is he getting messages from above?
I definitely think he knew.
We've certainly stopped seeing him get information from Sister Mary and others that, like, how does he have the information that from Voiello? On Voiello. We don't know.
Well, and so I like the point that you bring up, that you kind of wonder if he's like Jesus. Because I've been talking about this show with my mom, and she's very religious. Mm. She hasn't seen the show at all, but when she talks to me about it, she's like, this is weird because the Pope sounds like Jesus and Esther sounds like Mary Magdalene. Mm. Do you know anything about the story?
She absolutely sounds like Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
I got to jump into it, and I've heard that analogy, and take it and run with it. You guys explained it to me. I'm still on the rung of, okay, he's a very flawed vessel. Like, all of them are flawed.
Right.
And God is working through him. And he has some gifts and talents, and he's ordained in certain ways in spite of, you know, his lack of belief.
Mm-hmm.
But, do explore, like, you know, I've heard him reference himself as Christ. Like, that amazes me when he does it all the time.
Well, it's just weird because I truly, like, believed that after that conversation with Andrew, and then I saw what happened with Andrew, I'm like, wait, did he know that was going to happen? And he's just like saying, well, like, he's just giving him the option to pick. Like, you can stay here and grow up, or you can leave, and then you're never going to grow up. And then
it's a little confusing, specifically because of the way the show ended, which we see Andrew jumped out, and then we cut back to him at the church nodding to all of the nuns as he's walking. And then it ends on that very close up of his mouth, where it's not a smile or a frown or anything. It's very neutral. And I was expecting, because a lot of times when the closest person to you dies, you can feel it, even if you're not there in the room. And I couldn't tell if that was a nod to that moment of him understanding, like, Andrew's gone, or if it was a nod to, like, and now that part that was holding me back is gone. Because I honestly feel like Andrew is the weak link. Unfortunately. But I do, just because...
Politically, yeah.
Well, he could easily have caused, like, a mess. Yeah. Like, if he had been allowed... If he didn't
cover his tracks. He's not as cunning. And
no, he's getting drunk. Like, he's messing up with, like, Italian military wives. Like,
he's coming apart at the seams.
You need to do that chick right, or you need to not show up to the party at all. It's a complete mess just to go because you felt lonely.
Well, then he was, like raped... before he got dropped off by that lady's son. It was awful. And then he was dumped on the street.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's left drunk, half his clothes on, like staggering to the Vatican.
Did not bother to get dressed. He's just,
And then he's sleeping with the drug lord's wife, like the biggest drug lord in Honduras' wife.
Double walk of shame.
What did you think was going to happen to you? Like, did you think that he would just never find out?
I wasn't sure that the narco was gonna kill him. I wasn't totally positive.
I think he's paying fast and loose, and they definitely did leave it up with the narco in the back, where he was like, you know, my extreme religiosity, says I should forgive you. My businessman inside me is like, I gotta kill this
man.
You
gotta go.
I figured as soon as he was like, but I was like, well, that's it.
Okay,
no, that's over. Yeah. Yeah. But it definitely did make me question. I was like, oh, well, maybe they'll take like an eye or something, you know, like, I don't know, your balls. But they just shot him in the stomach, which is awful. I'm kind of glad we didn't have to see Andrew die, though.
Yeah.
I really like Andrew, and after like the car scene, I just didn't need his death.
He's a tragic figure. It definitely upped the stakes, though.
When I'm sorry, guys. I don't know my Bible as good as I should. I'm sure that there is a parallel biblical story of, for Andrew, of somebody who is, like, good, inherently good, and is trying, but just continuously gets in their own way and to the point that they self-destruct. Mm. And to go back to, oh my gosh, pregnant lady.
Esther.
Thank you. Esther's story. Esther mirrors a lot of women in the Bible, not just Mary, not just Esther, which whom we previously spoke about, but I cannot remember her name in the Bible, but she's like this woman who it's escaping me. I tried to look up all these biblical facts before I came in, but I like that she mirrors Esther in here, and that she gives the Pope like this calming effect, this knowledge, this ability to like connect back with the human world, which if he ever wants to, after cutting himself off so directly, like she's definitely going to be his way back to the people.
Right.
It's going
to
be important.
So actually, speaking of that, one thing that worried me was when, moving over to Voiello, was later when they're talking to Spencer about possibly becoming Pope, and they say, I know how we can get to Pius. And he looks out the window, and he has Spencer come up and look out the window with him, and he sees the Pope walking with the baby in the stroller and Esther behind. Are they going to kick Esther out of the Vatican?
I didn't get that. I mean, like, are the photos going to come into play because they introduced those twice, or who knows? But they obviously, I guess they're thinking she's a weakness.
Did he give all the photos to Mary?
He gave them to the smoking guy.
First, so, yeah, yeah.
To Spencer?
Yeah, so tell the story, because...
Wait, I missed that? Wait a minute, tell me.
Those photos are getting passed around, quick and dirty.
We know how gossip works around
yeah.
the Vatican.
Yeah, so first off, we have, like, a little, like, they're just like us cardinal moment again, because two things. One, Voiello's in, like, a full soccer kit, and he's, like, praying on a rosary that his team wins, which... I used to do that when I played soccer. I would literally like be like, God, please let me win this game tonight.
I thought everybody did that.
This is amazing.
And then when he walks up the stairs to meet that guy that smokes all the time, he gets to the top of the stairs and he's like sweating and like out of breath. I'm like, that's me when I walk up the top of the stairs. But when he gets up there, he talks to him and he says, you know, we need to get the Pope out. And he holds up like a little thumb drive. Yeah. And he's like, I thought you got rid of the pictures. I thought you gave them to Sister Mary. And he's like, I did, but I saved a copy. So he still has them. So he's like, we can get rid of them in 15 minutes.
And he gives
them
to the smoking guy. And he's like, give them to me.
Yeah. I think the smoking guy's name is Cardinal Caltanissetta. I don't know. I always call him the smoking guy because he's the guy that's always smoking but always taking oxygen at the same time.
Yeah. He's cool. He definitely has an old godfather feel of like, I've seen it all and I've done it all.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if they do decide, because by stabbing him in the back, it definitely takes the church down. Like, they definitely makes the church take
it. And that was why, that's what he realized. He's like, we couldn't, the church couldn't take it.
Yeah, he said, we can't let these pictures go because if, like, the church sees our Pope with his hand up a woman's shirt, like, they're going to lose it.
It's like finally somebody with a little bit of, like, forethought. I don't know.
Yeah,
I agree.
So my question with that is, if that's the case, if they are worried, what is their plan, I guess, to get him out? Because then they meet with Spencer, who's wearing sunglasses indoors in this meeting. Not sure why. But they basically say that they want him to be the Pope. So how are they planning to get...
Well, death sounds good. I mean, we definitely had that ominous moment at the table where the Pope switches his food with Voiello, and Voiello's like, you worried about poisoning? He's like, you never know. It's outdated for us, even. Like, we will not poison you. But that's just the way they would do it.
Yeah.
I was with Pius on that one. I was like, no.
And I knew when Spencer laid down his cardinal hat, there was something that gave me impression he was coming back. I didn't know he was going to come by blasting.
That was an interesting
moment
to me as well, because he kissed the foot, which basically was like surrender, but he took off the hat, which said something.
I thought he quit. I thought he was done. I thought he was peace, I'm done with this shit.
Definitely. It's the part of, a removal hat is either a sign of reverence, of like, I have to uncover my head when I, you know, enter the room where you're talking to us.
But nobody
else
did that, right?
Right, exactly. So it felt then like a diss, but you were also the first one. That moment was very weird. I'm not quite sure. Like, it's obvious Spencer once, you know, they had that whole Imagine scene where the crowds are just cheering for him.
He's
Spencer.
I know, and I felt so bad too, because he was like in the mirror and like practicing his like Pope speech and like blessing
people. Which Lenny said he would do that.
Just how would he bless people?
I know, but...
And here... Too much
did you feel kind of bad for him, though?
Oh my God, yes.
I felt so bad
for
him.
Here's why I feel bad for Spencer. One, he probably deserves it, just in that, like, he's been there for a while, and it seems like he's putting his dues, but also because when you're that vain, I think you're never qualified for the position. Like, if what you're mostly imagining, for example, filmmakers who mostly practice giving their Oscar speeches as opposed to making their product, I feel bad for them. I'm like, you're not going to go far. Like, right. Just making the speeches, that's the end result. That's the final thing you do, and it's still work. As opposed to, you know, he's not out there doing good works or trying to connect with the people or doing anything other than being like, I'm going to be so great. It's going to be amazing. I feel bad for Spencer. He's going to go down hard.
He is. I know. So, aside from that, you know, like we mentioned, the dinner with the Pope and Voiello, the Pope knows everything. I mean, he tells Voiello who did this with the fake parents. Because earlier in the episode, we see his parents come to visit
that
him.
That was just damn foolish.
Gosh.
I was like, this will never work. Why are
you doing outside
of
the fact,
this?
It's not like they had to look like hippies, you know, 40 years later, but at least look something like them.
Well, and besides that, what is the end game here?
Well, that's
do they
what
come
I was wondering.
Visit, like, four times a year? Do they write letters?
Right.
Did you just want to stand in their presence for a minute and then dismiss them? Like, that's such a short-sighted... And that's why I really liked when Voiello was like, come on, dude, I'd have been much better than that. Like,
yeah,
Voiello
says, like, what does he say? It was so funny. He said something about, like, oh, yeah, my methods are far more sophisticated.
Yes.
And the Pope says, I'll give you that. He knew. And so he knew, it's so weird because he knew it was Mary. He also confronts him about the documents that he was signing when he was so like foggy because he was thinking about his parents.
Sure.
And again, I felt like he knew it was Sister Mary that told him that because he's like, how did you know that my mind wasn't thinking clear?
And see, it's that dismissal of wrongdoing that makes me think maybe he does know what Andrew's up to in Honduras. Because as swift as he is for justice and punishment with everyone else, when it comes to Mary, he's just like, it's Mary. Like, call me Pope Pius, but...
The question comes down to is, like, what doesn't he know? And why wouldn't he know anything? Because he knows everything. He's learned everything so far
and
anyway.
And see, what's interesting to me about that is when we had that other preacher, the one who was, like, the alcoholic.
Gutierrez.
Yes. Gutierrez offered, like, he's like, what else do you know about me? And he was like, well, what else is there to know? And then Voiello's
that
like,
was such a weird part.
You know, Voiello's like, he's drunk. He's like, I already know that. He's like, but also, he's like, I don't need to know. What if I know everything? What if I'm better than you at all of this? And I'm like, what else is this man up to?
But actually, that's the part that we didn't mention last week that somebody was writing in about. Because the part, then Gutierrez gets up and he, like, turns really awkwardly.
He, like, runs almost.
And it was, like, really weird moment.
And so it's something bad.
Yeah.
It's something very bad.
What do you think he is? Do you think he's gay?
No. I think that he maybe molested a child, and that is why he drinks, and that is why he's being sent out. Like,
well, it's
part
so
of his
weird.
Penance is that he's has to take part in this trial.
Yes.
Wow.
Even though, like, he could be on trial for it, which makes you have to be, like, a really good judge, and I really think that's
so
that kind of
punishment.
So do you
think, again, the Pope knew all of that, and so that's why he sent him there? Because, actually, so whoever was writing to me in the comments, thank you, from last week, what they were saying was...
You got comments?
Yes. They were saying something about that specifically... Does he have some weird fetish with kids? Because he also, if you notice that scene where Voiello's sitting on his bed and he has all the alcohol, there's all these stuffed animals on his bed,
when
too.
I gotta watch that scene again. I can't, when you told me that,
I totally forgot
bonkers.
About that.
Yeah,
because
I
remember
sense.
Being like, why are there all those stuffed animals on that?
Yeah, I definitely think it's
yeah,
that.
It sounds like it's true.
Especially because Gutierrez is so likable and writers like to do that.
I know, and
like,
childlike.
Don't you love this person? They're so sweet. Psych, they're evil as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, that, yes.
Actually, so speaking of one other Gutierrez moment, in the last episode that we see Gutierrez, and then also in this most recent episode, episode 7, we see the Pope and Gutierrez, and then the Pope by himself looking at this painting called The Bearded Woman, and it's that painting where it looks like a guy breastfeeding the kid.
Is that real? Because that would be sacrilegious, right?
I don't know what that's about, because then he also starts bleeding out of his nose while he's seeing that. What is that about?
Well, if I just know off the bat, like, that would be... I mean, that's where the image, the opposite of Christ, the Baphomet, the demon comes from. You have, like, a creature with, like, both sexes. and, you know, with, like, a manly creature with like, breasts. So that's what makes me think it would be, it would almost be heresy if that really existed. Or if it definitely, I can't see that existing in the Vatican. Maybe I'm wrong,
or
but that would be crazy.
Or it's a painting depicting a sin, which there's a lot of actual
stories really?
Like
so
that.
So that's right up there with, like, the creepy gargoyles and stuff. You
so
know,
that
like,
painting is actually a woman who, like, at with age 37, like, got a beard.
Wow.
And, like, that's her husband behind. Yeah.
A lot of women get beards, y'all. It's not that uncommon.
That's fine. I just didn't know.
Oh, I thought it was a guy. At first.
I thought that was a guy as well, just because we've mostly been dealing with men in this story, and I thought maybe it was like a statement on being a man and wanting to nurture, especially because it's images with a baby. I don't know what it means. I feel like I need to do some art history, brush up, and read on like the history of that painting in order to more fully understand that scene.
Well, just a little bit of trivia, since you're talking about, I didn't know they had... But I guess so. That makes the Vatican also has all these paintings depicting sin. But like I researched and like why all the gargoyles or these twisted faces, and it's just another homage to like the other side, like when it rains, baptizing people who walk below it, you know, via the evil side.
Wow.
Great, but there's a lot to uncover, a lot to unpack.
There is. So there's a ton to uncover these past episodes of the Pope as well. I mean, we see his confrontation with the Prime Minister of Italy.
That scene was everything.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been wanting a non-believer to confront him, because I think it's hard when you're talking to the physical representation of God, if that is your belief, to argue. It's very difficult and challenging to have a debate with God. It is not so hard to debate with another foreign leader who is standing directly in your way of progress, and to see how malicious and, like, just stabby to the point I will destroy you pious could be.
I know.
And then to see, like, even though the Prime Minister was clearly taken aback,
right,
he was like, okay, but then why don't you show your face? I don't understand.
Yeah.
But see his response, which was calm, cool, collected, and like, okay, roadblock, but we're gonna figure it out. So no, I'm not changing my ways. Guy's the same, by the way. He's wonderful, but I'm not gonna change. We're definitely gonna make sure this gets done. And you know, all that money we get to them, we're gonna readjust. We're gonna look at that still in the future. Makes me really excited for these final episodes, because it means we're gonna get, I like love political like espionage and
yeah, he's definitely met his match.
Yeah. Oh, met his match? I'm not sure, but are we going to get a good fight? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. Because at first I thought he was going to meet his match, but then he like owned him in that room. But then the Prime Minister went back and basically went against everything that he said.
Here's the thing. We don't know quite what the Prime Minister is capable of just yet.
Because he's new too.
Right. No, this is his first, this is the first round. You know, he got beat up and he laid too many of his cards on the table up front. Now that he knows
Look
what the
you.
Pope is
okay.
capable
Can't
of,
do that.
I'm really excited to see. Yeah, well, I mean, he told him his whole game plan. He's like, and then I'll do this. I'm like, bro, no, this is not the one. Mm-hmm. You're not going to scare him with evil talk. So now we'll have to make a better game plan. But I'm excited to see how he does it and if he is a good, like, sparring match for him.
So what about the scene with the parents? So the Pope's going through mail, and he's, like, shaking, like, boxes and packages.
Because he opens all his own gifts now.
Yes. And he finds the other end of his pipe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was clunky on a couple levels, but just for the... For the fake parents to even get that information, it had to come from Mary, because who else would know that?
Right.
That's exactly why I was like, Mary, why are you telling on yourself like this, girl? Like, you could have had an old photo or anything, but the pipe, which he lost later, and then someone found at a shop in Italy?
Well, and then, like, what is the purpose of doing that? Do you think that she wanted to show Pius that God existed, or just to get him over the fact that his parents left him?
I think that that was an orphan thing. Mm-hmm. I think that that was really, like, one orphan to another. I know what you want more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a miracle, which she says earlier, was it in the previous episode?
I don't remember.
He says, you know, you never talk to me about the miracle that's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me seeing my parents. I'm not interested if they're dead.
Right.
She can't give him his parents, but maybe I can try. I try to give you your parents.
And
it's like a desperate last action of a mother.
And as wrong-headed as it was, and ham-fisted an attempt, could it be that she really meant well? Like, I think which is what you're saying.
So you
I don't
think she
it was evil
well.
Or conniving. I honestly think that Mary's final statement of she truly believes that this is Jesus come back to earth. And I truly think that she believes that he's going to be an amazing pope, which is why she's so desperate to get someone like Foiello, who understands like the tactical aspects of it, on her side to make sure that he's around long enough to be a great pope.
Interesting. So that would be why she is somewhat deceiving to him times. Interesting.
All mothers deceive their children.
What?
No.
They do.
No way.
They absolutely do.
So aside from that, where we see his parents coming, in between there, while he's waiting for them, we see the moment where he starts signing documents. Mm. So was the plan to have him sign his own resignation?
It was, but whoever didn't go through with it, who was it? Was it Foiello or Mary? They didn't go through with that part.
It was Foiello, but it didn't sound like it when he came and talked to the guy who smokes a lot, who is also wearing sunglasses in this moment.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I couldn't get him to sign his own resignation, but it didn't sound like Foiello, so I was confused.
What I got from it was Foiello didn't go through with it. Like, he didn't push that paper, you know? He pushed the other ones, but not that.
But why didn't he?
He had reservations, too. God, I don't
know. Does he not want Spencer?
Look, I honestly think Foiello thinks that this is, like, this is a touch pope. Like, this is someone he should be following. And I think he's just concerned, okay, once you know that responsibility, how do you keep him in bounds and make sure that he's the pope that he can be?
Right.
Again, these are, just two parents who were like, I have no idea what I'm doing with this child, but we gotta do it.
So how did we see him, how did that change in him from the beginning of the episode where he wanted him to resign to the end where he's like, okay, I'm not gonna have him resign because I think we just need to kind of...
That's what I love about the show, because I don't know, you'll see people go through this breath each episode of, like, you know, you think this is their intention and you think they're going to cross the finish line and go volume 10 on this and take them out, but they'll always either hedge their bets or they'll learn something else, or God will intervene, whatever you want to call it, there'll be some nuance with, like, brings us back from the breach every time.
What I find fascinating is it's everyone having this very human moment where they're trying to come to terms with, like having faith is a battle. Like, to continuously have faith all the time, despite when you're faced with, like, you know, horrible situations, when you're faced with just hard times, when you're faced with, like, life in general, it's hard to keep your faith. And so the very devout, it's a constant swing between their baser human needs and this thing they're trying to aspire to / keep. Mm-hmm. Like, they all feel like the church is dying and that it's ignored and it's not loved. So it's a lot of inner turmoil and battle, and it's nice to see that pendulum swing back and forth between characters as the episodes progress, because it kind of leaves you with, I don't know where we're going to end up with anyone. I don't know what side everyone will fall on.
And they're circling the drain, man. You know, the Vatican, I mean, it's like they're running out of money. People aren't donating. They got bad PR. What was it? The bishops were like, well, the bishops are about to go broke. And Pius is like, I don't care. Get rid of them. You know, but it's crazy. It's desperate times.
Absolutely.
So that was our show, essentially.
Yeah.
If you guys liked our show, we really, really want you to come and take a survey for us. It takes 5 minutes. It helps us stay free to download and keeps our ads minimal. And your response will help align the appropriate advertisers to us. So we'll help. We'll find people that you guys want to hear from, essentially, which is really important to us, because you listen to us. We want to bring you guys good products. There's two easy ways to take the survey. You can go to www.podcastone.com/mysurvey. Or go to www.podcastone.com and click the survey banner. If you filled out a survey in the past, we really super appreciate it, but we still need to do it one more time for us. It'll help us a lot. So do us all a favor here at AfterBuzz and go to Podcast One. You'll be doing us a huge favor. We'll really support it. And hopefully, in turn, you guys will get advertisements and products and things placed in front of you that you really want. I know I really enjoyed my Casper mattress, which I heard of on this program. Yes. And we want you guys to get Nature Box, which is also really great. So definitely come back, check it out. podcastone.com/mysurvey, or just click the survey banner at the top of podcastone.com. And thank you, as always, for supporting AfterBuzz TV.
Damn.
So take the survey and help us out. So really quick, before we go, we want to get into predictions.
Like,
we missed them.
TV,
we forgot them last week. So what are your predictions?
I honestly think there will be an attempt on the Pope's life in a way that we do not see coming. I don't think it'll be like guns or poison. It'll be something totally crazy. We saw in the preview that he's going to Africa, and it looks like stuff goes down there.
Yes.
I'm excited. I don't know what's going to happen there, but he pisses off a Mother Teresa-esque character, and I'm hoping she claps back really hard.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I know some bodies are dropping left and right. Yes. We don't know, but I mean, they've already established that people are going to die.
Yes. All right. Well, great. Well, thanks so much for stopping by, guys. Make sure you comment on our video and like it, and we will respond to you. Follow AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. And until next time, I'm Jesse Zahner. You guys can find me all over social media at Athletchick.
Go ahead.
All right, everybody. I'm Al Gregg. You can find me on Twitter at SoundClashCine and IG at Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Stay tuned after Buzz. Go check out Gotham. I think they might be wrapping up live right now. It's really awesome. Supergirl at 10 p.m. tonight. And then come back for The Magicians tomorrow, which is my favorite show currently on air. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about it.
Oh, and leave us some comments too. Leave us some comments under the YouTube video.
5 stars. All right. Love you guys.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.